Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
It's the morning of April 10th, 1971, on a railway bridge between Hong Kong and China. The sun is shining brightly, like an omen of good things to come. But as a group of 15 Americans walk timidly across the covered bridge, there's an undeniable sense of tension in the air. They're about to do something that hasn't been done in years. They are the first group of U.S. citizens to visit China since 1949. Not only that, they're set to tour the country at the express invitation of the nation's communist government. Among them is 23-year-old U.S. table tennis champion Connie Suiris. She clutches her camera in one hand, her passport in the other. Only the night before, U.S. government officials edited the document to allow Connie and her teammates to cross from Hong Kong into China. But even as she's walking toward her destination, Connie has no idea what's in store for any of them. The trip was not planned, and there's no itinerary. All of this has been and will be a leap of faith. As she looks around her, Connie notices that no one's stopping to take in the view as they cross the metaphorical bamboo curtain. It seems like everyone around her is holding their breath, even her. So Connie raises her camera to snap a photo, glancing around nervously in case she's breaking any rules. It's a hasty shot that comes out looking more like a historical artifact than a holiday photograph. She catches a couple of armed guards standing to attention and splashes of bright green vegetation beyond the bridge. Then Connie fits the lens cap back onto her camera, just moments before she and her compatriots reach the end of the bridge, where they're welcomed by Chinese officials who offer friendly handshakes to the athletes. It's all such a quick moment without any fanfare that Connie can hardly imagine how extraordinary her trip is about to become. In 1949, the Chinese Communist Party took control of mainland China and founded the People's Republic of China. Following this seismic political shift, the U.S. spent the next two decades trying to destabilize the Chinese government, believing the regime posed a danger to non-communist countries in the area. Their efforts included participation in the Vietnam War, orchestrating an international trade embargo on China, and prohibiting its citizens from visiting the United States. But by the start of the 1970s, both nations seemed eager to repair their relationship, but no one seemed to know how. Then at the Tennis Table World Championship in 1971, an unexpected interaction between members of the U.S. and Chinese national teams opened a door in the seemingly impenetrable barrier between the two nations' governments. As a result, China will invite the U.S. table team to visit the country, ostensibly for friendly competition and nothing more. But the Americans' whirlwind tour of China will prove far more consequential. It will culminate in a historical presidential visit and even create a blueprint for future diplomatic efforts. All this because American athletes arrive in China on April 10, 1971. From Noiser and Airship, I'm Lindsey Graham, and this is History Daily. History is made every day. On this podcast, every day, we tell the true stories of the people and events that shaped our world. Today is April 10th, 1971, the beginning of ping-pong diplomacy. It's early April 1971 in Nagoya, Japan, where the World Table Tennis Championships are being held. At a training facility, the Chinese team is hard at work, sharpening their skills before the next match. They know they have a reputation to live up to. In all, there are 13 nations represented at the tournament, but all anyone can talk about is the team from the People's Republic of China. The Chinese have long been considered the world's best, but they haven't been seen at the championship since 1965. A year later, in 1966, table tennis was banned as bourgeois during China's Cultural Revolution. But this year, the country's team is back and dominating the field. After their training session is done, the Chinese players climb aboard a waiting bus, ready to tackle the matches ahead. But before they can pull away from the curb, a young American player bounds up the steps and slides somewhat awkwardly into a seat. 19-year-old Glenn Cohen was so wrapped up in his own training that he missed the U.S. team bus. So now here he is, surrounded by Chinese athletes who aren't sure what to do. Before they left China, the players were specifically warned to avoid any interaction with Americans. The two nations are on bad terms and have been for decades, ever since China became a communist state. Most of the Chinese athletes have grown up hearing a popular slogan, "Down with American imperialism." So when American Glenn gets on the Chinese bus, an awkward atmosphere settles over most of the players. But 30-year-old Zhuang Zedong isn't suspicious or nervous. The former world champion briefly wonders whether it's acceptable to interact with his hated enemy, but the thought is fleeting. He confidently approaches Glenn, shakes his hand, and starts a conversation with him through an interpreter. Zedong asks Glenn's thoughts about the tournament so far, and then they drift into talking about Japan and share a little about where they each come from. It's all just polite chit-chat. But then as they draw closer to their destination, Zedong rummages through his bag looking for something he can give his new friend. Gift-giving is an important aspect of Chinese culture and is seen as a way to strengthen new relationships, so he doesn't want the American to leave the bus empty-handed. But as he takes inventory of what he has, nothing feels quite right. There are fans, pins, and even a few silk handkerchiefs, but they're all just trinkets. Then Zedong finds just the thing. He pulls out a silk print of one of China's mountains and presents it to Glenn. The print is small, but beautifully captures the famous peak. Touched by the thoughtful gesture, Glenn opens his own bag to look for something he can give his new friend in return. But besides his table tennis kit, all he can find is a comb, which he knows won't do. Still, the two players and the interpreter get a laugh at the thought of Glenn gifting his comb before the bus pulls to a stop and it's time to get off. When the athletes disembark, a number of journalists are waiting for them, eager to document the tournament favorites. But the sight of an American disembarking the Chinese bus causes a stir, and there's a flurry of camera flashes as Glenn holds up his new silk painting. The frosty relationship between China and the U.S. is no secret, so the sight of these countries' two star athletes in one photo is big news. When Japanese newspapers publish the photographs of Zedong and Glenn together, the images make an immediate splash. But the continued development of their friendship takes media interest to another level. The day after their meeting, Glenn finds Zedong again, excited to finally have a gift for him. He presents the Chinese player with a t-shirt, emblazoned with a red, white, and blue peace symbol and the Beatles lyric, "Let It Be." After this second gift exchange, local journalists covering the tournament are eager to milk the story for all it's worth. One of them asks Glenn if he'd like to visit China, and the 19-year-old says he'd enjoy visiting any country he's never been to, including China. Before the tournament, the U.S. team had actually requested an invitation to visit China to play some exhibition matches and were quickly turned down. But when the photos of Zedong and Glenn reach Chinese Communist Party Chairman Mao Zedong, the leader will have a change of heart. Days later, China's Foreign Department will extend an invitation to the Americans, asking them to visit China for a series of friendly matches. And just like that, ping-pong diplomacy will begin.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
It's mid-morning on April 10th, 1971, right on the border between Hong Kong and the People's Republic of China. 23-year-old Connie Suarez shakes hands with a small assembly of Chinese government officials, then turns to give a final wave to the group of reporters standing on the Hong Kong side of the bridge. Connie and her teammates on the U.S. table tennis team have just crossed into China, making them the first American group to do so in decades. Connie doesn't know what's in store for her, but she's excited to find out and just a little nervous. In recent years, the American government has warmed up to the idea of a friendly relationship with China, believing it could help them in negotiations with North Vietnam and perhaps bring an end to the ongoing Vietnam War. For their part, China has also been somewhat eager to improve relations with the U.S. because their interactions with the USSR have soured. Despite this, neither side have made any real effort toward change. But now, this visit is an unlikely first step. Less than 24 hours ago, Connie and her teammates met with U.S. government representatives to prepare for this unexpected trip. The officials warned the athletes to be on their best behavior and reminded them that they were absolutely not on a political visit. They were going to China to play friendly exhibition matches and nothing more. Then the 15 team members handed over their passports so that they could be edited. On an inside page, a short blurb warned American travelers of legal penalties if they visited any communist-controlled countries. To ensure no offense was caused at the border, the State Department representatives took black markers and drew a line through the country at the top of that list, China. Now the athletes hand over these edited passports to the Chinese custom agents for entry stamps. And with the paperwork taken care of, Connie and her teammates head to Beijing, where they are met by the premier of the People's Republic of China, who personally greets each of them on the tarmac. It's a simple but momentous gesture that demonstrates just how committed China is to the success of this tour. From there, the Americans embark on a whirlwind tour of the nation, playing matches against their Chinese counterparts in front of capacity crowds. At Beijing's Capital Indoor Stadium, some 20,000 people fill the stands to watch the athletes in action. But even though Connie expected her team to be trounced by their opponents, she notices that they seem to be taking it easy on her and her teammates. The Chinese players are some of the world's best and could easily have demolished the Americans. But likely out of respect for their visitors, Chinese allow themselves to be beaten several times. The gestures of friendship don't stop there. After a match in Shanghai, Connie's opponent hands her a token, a red velvet pennant with gold embroidery commemorating the time and date of the event. Touched by the thoughtful gift, Connie carefully packs the pennant into her suitcase, eager to show it off to her loved ones when she returns home. With no American journalists allowed in to document this trip, Connie's not sure how much news of the tour will reach the U.S. But mementos like the pennant offer proof that this once-in-a-lifetime experience is real and meaningful. But unbeknownst to Connie, back in the United States, people are paying very close attention to her and the rest of the American team. News of the tour makes the New York Times, and a photograph of the American athletes atop the Great Wall graces the cover of Time magazine. And it's not just the public that's captivated. In Washington, the country's top politicians have been keeping a careful eye on everything happening in China. Only weeks earlier, the prospect of American tourists even visiting China seemed impossible. Now, a national athletic team is being welcomed there with open arms. Even from afar, President Richard Nixon can see that relations are finally changing, and he's eager to take advantage. On April 14th, 4 days after the table tennis team's arrival in China, President Nixon announces that Chinese nationals will be allowed tourist visas to visit the U.S. It's an important development in itself, but what follows that announcement is a rapid sequence of events that will change the course of the 20th century. In just 3 months, Secretary of State Henry Kissinger will secretly visit China to meet with the premier, laying the groundwork for another historic visit when President Richard Nixon is invited to China himself.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, That business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/audioboom.
It's February 21st, 1972, in Beijing, China. On board Air Force One, U.S. President Richard Nixon and his wife, Pat, wait to disembark. Just by touching down in China, Nixon has already made history as the first sitting U.S. president to visit the country. But he's not just here for appearances. Nixon is determined to open up diplomatic ties between the two countries after decades of silence. He's been advocating for a better relationship with China since he took office, and now that goal has never felt closer. Just hours after his plane landed, Nixon meets Chairman Mao Zedong, leader of the Chinese Communist Party. The two shake hands and, through a translator, exchange pleasantries and light banter about their political ideologies. It's a brief interaction and their only face-to-face meeting, but that will not diminish the impact of Nixon's visit. At the end of a week-long trip, the two countries release the Shanghai Communique, pledging their joint commitment to working toward bilateral relations while acknowledging their long-standing differences. The communique also records that the U.S. recognizes only one China, undoing their previous support for Taiwan's fight for independence. In the years following Nixon's visit to China, trade between the two countries opens up, American tourists are allowed to visit China, and full diplomatic relations are eventually established, all the result of what is remembered as ping-pong diplomacy. In the years since the U.S. table tennis team's historic visit, sport will continue to play a role in international relations to various degrees of success. In recent years, some nations have been accused of using sporting events like the Olympics or the World Cup to burnish their reputations on an international stage. But despite the success or failures of these instances of sports washing, it seems unlikely that any will ever have the kind of lasting cultural impact the U.S. team had when they broke barriers and crossed the border into China on April 10, 1971. Next on History Daily, April 11th, 1951, 4 months after it was stolen by Scottish nationalists from Westminster Abbey, the Stone of Destiny used in the coronation of British monarchs for centuries is found in the ruins of Scotland's Arbroath Abbey. From Noiser and Airship, this is History Daily, hosted, edited, and executive produced by me, Lindsey Graham. Audio editing by Mohammed Shazib. Sound design by Molly Bach. Music by Lindsey Graham. This episode is written and researched by Joel Callan, produced by Alexandra Curry Buckner. Executive producers are Stephen Walters for Airship and Pascal Hughes for Noiser.